नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नारायणं चैतन्य वर्तमान देवी सरस्वती व्यासं चो जयं मुदीरय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 3, Chapter 28, Chapter entitled Kapila's Instructions on Devotional Service, Text Number 21. Sanchintaye Bhagavatas Charanaravindam
Sanchintaye Bhagavatas Charanaravindam
Sanchintaye Bhagavatas Charanaravindam
Sanchintaye Bhagavatas Charanaravindam
Vajram Kushadvajasaroha Lanchanadyam
Vajram Kushadvajasaroha Lanchanadyam
Vajram Kushadvajasaroha Lanchanadyam
Vajran kushat vajasaroru haranchananyam
Utunga rakta vilasanna kachakravala
Utunga rakta vilasanna kachakravala
Utunga rakta vilasanna kachakravala
Utunga rakta vilasanna kachakravala
Jyotsnavi ahatamaha dritayandarakam
Jyotsnavi ahatamaha dritayandakaram
Jyotsnavi ahatamaha dritayandarakam
Jyotsnavi ahatamaha dritayandakaram
Sanchintaye Bhagavatas Charanaravindam
Sanchintaye Bhagavatas Charanaravindam
Vajram Kushadvajasaroruhu Lanchanajam
Vajram Kushadvajasaroruhu Lanchanajam
Uttunga Rakta Vilasannaka Chakravala
Utunga rakta vilasanna kachakravara
Jyotsnabhi ahatamaha dritayandakaram
Jyotsnabhi ahatamaha dritayandakaram
Sanchintayat
Sanchintayat
He should concentrate.
He should concentrate.
Bhagavata.
Bhagavata.
Of the Lord.
Charanaravindam. Charanaravindam.
On the lotus feet.
On the lotus feet.
Vajra.
Vajra.
Thunderbolt.
Thunderbolt.
Ankusha.
Ankusha.
Gold.
Gold.
Rod for driving elephants.
Rod for driving elephants.
Dvaja.
Dvaja.
Dana.
Saroha.
Saroha.
Lotus.
Lotus.
Lanchana.
Lanchana.
Marks.
Marks.
Adyam.
Adyam.
Adorned.
Adorned.
Atunga.
Atunga.
Prominent.
Prominent.
Rakta.
Rakta.
Red.
Red.
Vilasat.
Vilasat.
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
Naka.
Naka.
Nails.
Nails.
Chakravala.
Chakravala.
The circle of the moon.
The circle of the moon.
Jyotsnabhi.
Jyotsnabhi.
With splendor.
With splendor.
Ahata.
Ahata.
Dispelled.
Dispelled.
Mahat.
Mahat.
Thick.
Hridaya. Hridaya.
Of the heart.
Of the heart.
Andhakaram.
Andhakaram.
Darkness.
Darkness.
Translation and prayer for by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila
Prabhupada.
The devotee should first concentrate his mind on the Lord's lotus feet, which are adorned with the marks of a thunderbolt, a gold, a banner, and a lotus. The splendor of their beautiful ruby nails resembles the orbit of the moon and dispels the thick gloom of one's heart. Translation responsive. The devotee should first concentrate his mind on the Lord's lotus feet.
On the Lord's lotus feet,
which are adorned with the marks of a thunderbolt.
Which are adorned with the marks of a thunderbolt.
A goat.
A goat.
A banner.
A banner.
And a lotus.
And a lotus.
The splendor of their beautiful ruby nails.
The splendor of their beautiful ruby nails.
Resembles the orbit of the moon.
Resembles the orbit of the moon.
And dispels the thick gloom of one's heart.
And dispels the thick gloom of one's heart.
Report. The Mayavadi says that because one is unable to fix his mind on the impersonal existence of the Absolute Truth, one can imagine any form he likes and fix his mind on that imaginary form. But such a process is not recommended here. Imagination is always imagination and results only in further imagination. A concrete description of the eternal form of the Lord is given here. The Lord's soul is depicted with distinctive lines resembling a thunderbolt, a flag, a lotus flower, and a gold. The luster of his toenails, which are brilliantly prominent, resembles the light of the moon. If a yogi looks upon the marks of the Lord's soul and on the blazing brilliance of his nails, then he can be freed from the darkness of ignorance in material existence. This liberation is not achieved by mental speculation, but by seeing the light emanating from the lustrous toenails of the Lord. In other words, one has to fix his mind first on the lotus feet of the Lord if he wants to be freed from the darkness of ignorance in material existence. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nishananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasati Gaura Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, this part of the Bhagavatam is considered the most philosophical part of the Bhagavatam and the teachings of Lord Kapila. So it's called Sankhya. Sankhya, literally, what's the definition of the word?
Analytical.
Analyzing.
Yeah, usually say analytical. Like, is there a detail?
To count.
Yeah, we can say to analyze. So you go into something deeply, and when you get into it, then you really pick it apart to really analyze what's in there. So Sankhya, this part of the Bhagavatam, the philosophy is to deeply analyze the difference between matter and spirit. So now we're getting into the later parts of the Buddha's instructions. So in the later chapters, now it's saying Kapila's instructions on devotional service. Better late than never. Okay. Actually, it's neglectful because the Bhagavatam speaker should be offered the garland of water as soon as he sits. So it means everyone is being inattentive. We can't progress in devotional service if we're inattentive. And everyone sitting should recognize these things. Otherwise, standards drop. I mean, imagine the deity opened, you know, we open the curtains, and then after the curtains open, somebody goes, oh, wait a minute, we haven't put the garlands there. And we go open up with the garlands. So that's inattentive devotional service. So devotional service should be attentive. When the person sits, then you should put the garland, you should put the water there. You offer at that time. Because when someone sits on the asana, they're representing the asana. So you're garlanding that person, but also you're garlanding Vyasa himself, which means the representative of God at that time. So it means we've been inattentive. It's not the right standard. But thank you for doing it at some point in time.
Yeah.
Better late than later. But still, better earlier than late. What was I talking about?
Sankhya.
Yeah, so Sankhya. So now, this is the... after Kapila Dev has analysed the material energy, now he's speaking about the spiritual energy. And he is giving us a way to meditate on the personal form of the Lord. Now, it describes that impersonalists, they do not meditate on the form of the Lord, which is the perfection of meditation. What is the goal of meditation? What is the goal? When we meditate, what is the goal?
Think of Krishna. To think of Krishna and his beautiful form.
Yeah, to meditate on the form of the Lord. Now, the impersonalists don't do that, so therefore, Kapila Devi explains, for the impersonalists, then you should meditate like this. So he's saying, you look at the universal form and then you'll see different things in the universal form. That's been described back in the second canto, there was a description like that as well. But this now is going to a higher level of meditation, where we have to, for devotees, this is how we meditate on the Lord. We have to meditate on the different parts of the Lord. So first of all, it's been described the Lord's lotus feet. So the lotus feet of the Lord are symbolic, but it is also literal. We should literally meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord. It is said that when we take darshan of the deities, then we should meditate on the lotus feet of the deities and then gradually allow our eyes to raise to the face of the deities. So it is a form of meditation. So at this point in time, first of all, we're meditating on the Lord's lotus feet. Now, why do we meditate on the feet?
It's humility to look at the feet of a person first before you see their face.
Yeah, it's good. In many cultures, they'll meditate on the feet of the person. I remember when I became a Hare Krishna devotee a number of years ago, then it was a radical step. Because I was born here in Melbourne, grew up out in the northern suburbs. I was just a normal kid, like everyone else in Melbourne, just, you know, kids doing kid stuff. And suddenly I came home and I said to my parents, I'm becoming a Hare Krishna. Mm-hmm. I'd been brainwashed. Came home and said to my mother, I'm becoming a Hare Krishna. So my mother said, you can do anything else except that. And she said to me, I will buy you a plane ticket to anywhere in the world. Anywhere in the world. Right now. I'll buy you a ticket. You can just go anywhere, but don't do this. And I said, no, I'm going to do this. So I did this. I moved into the temple. So it was strange, because I'm just like a normal, you know, Australian kid, and the next minute, you know, I've got a shaved head, I'm wearing, you know, orange bath sheets, dancing up and down Swanston Street, you know, like, how do you they're very strange. So my family were like taken aback, all my friends, you know, they said, oh, he's just doing it to get attention. You know, he's just, you know, to be different. He won't do it for long, but I'm still doing it. So then my family, they would come and visit me. And sometimes, I lived in the Brahmacharya ashram for a number of years. So sometimes my brothers would come into the ashram to visit me into my room. I used to have that little room, the little library room.
Oh, yeah.
So that was very far away. It's hard to get that room now. So I was in there, and then on my wall, I had a picture of my guru's feet. So if you go to anyone's house in Australia, if you walk up and down Dang Street now and knock on people's doors and go into their house, yeah, you won't see a picture of their grandmother's feet or their father's feet or their dog's feet. You won't see that. So my brother walks in and there's a picture of feet. And he said, "Why did you have his feet?" Because everything we do appears to be strange from an external point of view. That's why it actually says in the Shastra that a devotee appears like a mad person. We actually appear somewhat mad compared to out there. Because the way we act, you know, public, I mean, we dance up and down the streets and, you know, like this, and people just think we're, they're not sure what we're doing. But if we're actually absorbed in the internal energy and we're blissful, genuinely blissful, we can also do the artificial thing. You know, you can go on Hare Nam and just be like, like that. But sometimes you see devotees, it's just the motive, it's the motive passion. Devotees going up and down Swanson Street, but it's just the motive passion. Everyone's like jumping and shouting and jumping around like that, but it's not really, the transcendental element is not fully manifest there as much as it should be. But when you're blissful, and then you become ecstatic naturally, it's very powerful. It changes people. I remember one time we were doing a Harinam many, many years ago. Prabhav was leading, actually. Prabhav, who's just come back to Melbourne, the great Kirtan general. He's one of the best Kirtan leaders on the planet, you know, especially in his heyday. He's very, very powerful. So we're doing Harinam in Bourke Street. There used to be some cinemas there. And we were dancing and chanting outside the cinema. We do that every Friday night. So there's about 20 of us, and there's, you know, hundreds of people watching us. And we're dancing, and everyone's like dancing 2 feet off the ground. We're dancing and chanting, we're all just floating. And I was at the very end, and then the security guard, he came up, and he whispered to me and said, he said, "I don't know what you guys are on, but I will take 2 kilograms. And I just looked at him and said, "Hare Krishna." It's the holy name, it's the internal energy of Krishna. But when you're absorbed in that internal energy, you become fully blissful. Fully blissful. So what we do appears to be strange externally. But actually, if you're in the internal energy of Krishna, it will have a deep effect on the consciousness of the living entities. But you have to be absorbed in the internal. That's the main focus for the devotee. It's not just a street performance when we go out through Harinam. It's not just everyone getting in the mode of passion and now we can, you know, let ourselves, you know, have some fun and we're jumping all over the place. It has to be coming from a deep place, and that has effect on the living entities. So we meditate on the lotus feet. So there's a whole description in 3 verses, very nice verses, about meditating on the lotus feet. Why? Because these are the lotus feet of Krishna. And one day we hope we will see Krishna. Has anyone seen him? You've seen him?
Prasad.
Yeah. How have you seen him?
I was just having a coughing fit on one particular time and I believe I saw Krishna.
You saw him? What did he look like?
Blue. Sorry.
Yeah.
It was very beautiful.
Yeah, most beautiful. When we actually see him, we actually, all of us have seen him. We have seen, but we've forgotten. Just like sometimes you get a knock on your head and you can't remember. Just like a number of years ago, Indjadumna Swami was hit by a car in South Africa. Right? He got out of a car, he was getting into a car, he opened the door, another car came and hit him. So he woke up in hospital, and when he woke up, he couldn't remember he was Indjadumna Swami. He'd forgotten. He wasn't sure who he was at that time. So that's exactly what's going on now with all of us. We don't know who we are. If I ask you who you are, what will you say? You will say, "I am Australian, or Indian, or Bulgarian, or German, or Maltese, or You'll say you're from so many places.
A global citizen.
What is it?
A global citizen.
You're a global citizen.
This is the new fashion now.
Yeah, you're the new fashion for me. Yeah, because we want people feel like we're part of the earth, planet, humanity. So whatever you say you are, upadi, sabo upadi, vini muktam, so many upadis. I am this, I am that, I am that. You're none of these things. We're none of these things. Kiveras rupa hoi, Krishna and Nitya das. You're Krishna's eternal servant, but what is your swarup? What is your original form in relation to God? We've forgotten. We don't remember. If you saw a picture right now of what you actually look like in the spiritual world, right, you'd be shocked. Because most of you guys would be wearing saris. And you feel, oh,
yeah. Some of us are stones.
What is it?
Some of us are stones.
Generally not. Most bodies are human-like forms. It's rare that you're going to a form of a stone. It's possible. But it's very rare. Most of us have human forms. But if you saw your actual form, where you look like you would be shocked. We've forgotten who we actually are. So now we're thinking, I am this, I am that. I am a brahmachari. I don't look at women. But then when you see your eternal form, you're a woman. Right? Your whole life's about not looking at women. And then, I don't know, but you're a woman. Carrying the spiritual body. You're wearing a sari. Oh, I don't know what the sari is, but... actually, I wear a sari in the spiritual body. We've forgotten who we are. Everything we're doing down here is maya. It's illusion. One time, Prabhupada, he was on the morning work in France, and one devotee said to him, Prabhupada, why are the grihasthas always in maya? Good question. Devotee said to Prabhupada, why are the grihasthas always in maya? And Prabhupada, he thought, he said, that is all right. That is their position. Grihastha means you are in maya. Otherwise, why are you a grihastha? Prabhupada said, we need a wife as much as we need a material body. Do you need a material body?
Yes.
Well, no, actually, because we're meant to be with Krishna. Yeah, we don't need a material body. Why do we have a material body? Because we've forgotten Krishna. You don't want to be with Krishna. That's the fact. The fact is, we don't want to be with Krishna. There's nothing stopping us from being with Krishna right now. Another time, in New Vrindavan, Prabhupada's very first Vyasa Puja ever, I think 1972. One devotee put his hand up at the end of Prabhupada's lecture and said, Prabhupada, why is maya so strong? You ever ask yourself this? I ask myself every day, why is maya so strong? Prabhupada said, maya is not strong. You are not sincere. That's the fact. The fact is, we want to be a Christian, be a Christian right now. No one's stopping you. You can walk onto the altar and just merge into Krishna's pastimes right now if you want. But we don't have that sincerity. We don't have that desire in our heart. We're still attached to this world in our illusion. So devotional service is meant to clear up those upadis. So if we see Krishna again, we have seen Krishna, but we forgot Krishna. Krishna is the emblem of beauty. He's the most beautiful. He's captivating. He is overwhelming when you see him. When you see him, you will faint. Generally, that's what happens. Describes the Madhurya Kanambini. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, when you actually get back to the spiritual world, the first thing you do when you get back is you faint. Because you arrive, and guess who's standing there? He's there. You haven't seen him for so long, and then finally you see him, and then you just go. And then he has to wake you up. So he picks you up. He embraces you, and according to your rasa, he touches you in a different way. He brings you back to consciousness. And when you come back to consciousness, he says, look. He says, look where you are. He says, there is Radha, there is Govardhan, there is Jamuna. Look where you are. Now sleep. So, we meditate on the form of Krishna. When you see Krishna, he is indescribably beautiful. Krishna is known as, one of his names is Madan Mohan. Who is Madan?
Cupid.
Yeah. You know Madan? Anyone here from India? You know who I'm talking about? Madan? You know who? Yeah. And in English we say Cupid. Everyone knows what I'm talking about, right? Madan Mohan. What does Mohan mean?
Enchanted.
Yeah, one who enchants or bewilders. Madan Mohan. So you know the story of when Cupid met Krishna in Vrindavan? Have you ever done Vrindavan Parikrama? Never done? Never walked around there? Really? Next time we're there, I'll take you around. Come around. You just walk around. It takes 2 hours. Just go around. Very thorough. So there's a place, if you go down to the, on the Parikrama, you get to where the Jumuni used to run. And you turn that sharp right, and you walk about 50 metres just on the right, there's a place called Madan Ter. And it'd be a little forest kind of area. That's where, so Cupid, he wanted to be famous. Everyone wants to be famous in this world. Hands up if you want to be famous. So we have some honest people. The honest people put up their hands, all the dishonest ones. We all want to be famous. Everyone wants to be famous. That's why you're here in the material world. That desire, we want to be famous, we want to be well known, we want to be liked, we want to be popular. So Cupid's the same, he wanted to be popular. So he thought, how will I become popular? How will I become famous? If I shoot the person with my arrows, he takes his arrows of calm, lust, shoots them in there, hits into the heart, and then makes your head spin. Right? And then you become attracted to girls, you become attracted to boys, and so the whole world is about that. Because Cupid is just running around and shooting at them. So your head is continuously spinning, piercing the heart. So he thought, who will I shoot? And if I shoot them, I'll become the most famous. And then he thought, Narada. Because who is the most powerful brahmachari in the whole universe? Narada. So he thought, I'll shoot Narada. So then he came to Narada and he took out his arrow and he was going to shoot Narada. And Narada said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm going to shoot you. And he said, why? And he said, because if I shoot you, you become lusty, I'll become very famous. And I made Narada Muni fall down. He said, it's not difficult to make me lusty. He said, that is not difficult. He said, don't shoot me, that's the easy target. He said, go and shoot someone who's really powerful. And he said, well then, who is more powerful than you? Who's more powerful? He said, Krishna. He said, go and shoot him. He said, if you shoot him, you influence him, then you'll be famous. So he said, where is he? He said, he's in Vrindavan. So he went to Vrindavan. And then when he got to Vrindavan, he heard the sound of a
flute.
Krishna was playing. He said, what is that sound? So he took the arrow and he was walking around in the trees. Where is he? And then he heard the flute and he came around behind a tree and he saw Krishna. Krishna just looked at him. Right? And he took his arrow and he went. But when he looked at Krishna, he was so beautiful, he just went. Collapsed on the ground unconscious. So Krishna became known as Madan Mohan, one who bewilders Cupid. So Krishna is much more powerful than Cupid. So if, and Prabhupada actually comments on this name of Krishna, he says that there's some letters by Prabhupada, some devotees would write to Prabhupada, my heart is full of lust, or I'm having trouble with sex desire. So Prabhupada would write different things back. One time one devotee said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I'm struggling with sex desire. Does anyone here struggle with sex desire? Okay, two people. Okay. So for the YouTube, I'm speaking to YouTube people, because everyone else is transcendent. Then Prabhupada said, if you're struggling with sex desire, one devotee said, Prabhupada, what do I do? Sex desire is so strong. Prabhupada went, he said, grit your teeth and bear it. Tolerate it, and it will go away. That's the beginning level. Prabhupada said many different things. But then one time Prabhupada wrote in a letter, he said, if you want to overcome sex desire, then you have to become attracted to Madan Mohan, to Krishna. Because when you become attracted to Krishna, then lust disappears. So we have to become attached to Krishna, attracted to Krishna. He has to bewilder our mind. Now there is one person who is even more powerful than Krishna, who bewilders Krishna, bewilders everyone, but there's someone who bewilders Krishna. What is the name of that person? Mother Mohan Mohini. So that's the story of how Radharani attracted Krishna, conquered Krishna. So Krishna had conquered Madan, lust, Cupid. And then Radharani, Krishna is very famous as a wrestler. Krishna's a good wrestler. Very good. Every morning in Nandagram, he has wrestling matches with Sridhar, who is Sridhar. Radharani's the older brother. Right? He's the eldest son of Vrishabhanu Maharaj, and Krishna is the eldest son of, not the eldest son, the second eldest son of Dandavan. So every morning after they milk the cows, they go into the wrestling match. You know, in India in the farms, they dig out one area, like an arena, for the wrestling. Do you have that at home? Was there when you were growing up? Some wrestling? You know what? Yeah, they have that. So every morning after the cows, they jump in, Krishna, and they wrestle. Right, you know, and when they finish, they're walking up the hill. Sridhar said, "I won today." And Krishna said, "I won today. I was the champion." Krishna has his group. Sridhar has his group. It's always, we're boys on that. I'm the champion. Like that. So, they get into the whole lot. So Krishna's always telling everyone, "I am the best wrestler." Radharani said, "You are not separated. I can easily defeat you." Krishna said, "Really?" Radharani said, "I can easily defeat you." And Krishna said, "Then I will meet you here tomorrow at this time, right? And we will wrestle and we'll see who the champion is." Radharani said, "No problem." So Radharani went, Krishna went, came back the next day. So Krishna dressed up as a wrestler, very nice, very powerful. And he arrives, right? And all the gopis were there. And he said, "Where is Radharani?" He said, "She is coming." So she also dressed like a wrestler, put her hair in a top knot, wore a dhoti in such a way that it looked like pants, like a wrestler's pants. So then Radharani walks in, and she put a veil on her head, and she just slitted her eyes so you just see her eyes. So she walked into the wrestling arena very slowly, and she lifted up her head, and she just looked at Krishna from the corner of her eyes. And when Krishna saw Radharani, and she looked at him, Krishna went... And Radharani came up, and she put her foot on his chest and she said, "What sort of a wrestler are you?" Madan Mohan Mohini. So if you want to give up your lust, you have to take shelter of these two personalities. Let them bewilder your mind. So Krishna is so beautiful that every part of his body, it is like the emblem of perfection. So this, now we're hearing a description of his form, and it begins with the lotus feet. So why the feet first? Because the feet are, they're literal. His feet are the most beautiful feet. You see his feet are just beautiful. Very large. If someone's auspicious, they have very large feet. In physiognomy, there are 32 signs of a very auspicious person. If someone's a very auspicious person, their body is very balanced, very beautiful, naturally attractive. And it means their feet are quite long, not overly long. Quite long, that's an auspicious sign. So Krishna has very long feet. But his feet are also symbolic. His feet represent shelter. And on Thursday, someone's birthday. Whose birthday is on Thursday?
Nityananda.
What was his name?
Nityananda!
He Nitai. Nityananda Prabhu. So on the altar there, we have seven people standing. There are many personalities on the altar, but seven main people are standing. And who is the most merciful? You take everyone, who's the most? It's said to be
Nityananda.
Nityananda Prabhu. Said to be the most merciful of everyone. So it's his birthday on Thursday, the most powerful day. If you're struggling in devotional service, you don't have to put your hand up if you are. Sometimes you do. Does anyone struggle sometimes? If you want to reverse the cycle, right, Thursday is the day to reverse the cycle. You just go to him and you just lay on the ground for a long, long, long time, right, and just pray and pray and pray and just say, help me, right? Save me, give me shelter at your lotus feet. Nittai pada kamala koti chandra shushi tala. His feet, as said in that song by Narottama, his feet are like millions of moons glowing. You know, what is it like when the moon is full? Right? It's soothing. So imagine millions of moons just soothing. When you're with him, everything is okay. So he will give you shelter. He gives anyone shelter. There's no that he will not deliver. One time there was a devotee in Mumbai. This is many years back when Prabhupada was on the planet, 1970s. And he was being nonsense. He was doing some very nonsensical activities. So he was going out as a life, as a collecting life membership donations. But he was keeping money for himself. You know, Prabhupada's disciple, when Prabhupada was there, we'd go out and collect your money and keep the money. Everyone else would go out and collect and bring it back and give it to the temple. It wasn't very good. So they kept telling him, chastising him, and Tamal Krishnamurti was there, and he said, right, we're kicking you out of the ashram. Right. And Prabhupada said, Prabhupada heard, said, bring him to me. So they brought him to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, okay, do not do like this. Do not take the guru's money. It's like that. Yeah, what sort of consciousness is this? So then he left, right? And they told him so many times, and he kept doing, and even after that, he kept doing nonsense things. So then, Tamal Krishnamurti said to Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, how many chances will you give someone? And Prabhupada said, there is no limit to the mercy of Lord Nityananda. No limit to how much Lord Nityananda will save people. But then, he kept taking money, so then Prabhupada said, okay, kick him out. Prabhupada wasn't sentimental. Was like, oh, just keep doing nonsense, and we'll just keep you. And Nityananda will look after you. No. Then Prabhupada gave him as many chances as he could, and he's okay now. You're being too much nonsense. But the point is that Lord Nityananda, he will give unlimited shelter to living entities. So we take shelter at the lotus feet. So when you bow at someone's feet, you're completely, when you're offering dandavat, and danda means rod, stick, dandavat means flat. When you're offering, when you prostrate yourself at someone's feet, you are surrendered to them. They can do anything to you at that time. And they can take a stick and beat you. Like one of Lord Chaitanya's associates, what was his name? Abhiram Das Thakur. Yeah. Used to have that stick, what was that stick called? It's called Mongol or something. Jai Mongol, yeah. He used to have a stick. So when he was a Paramahamsa, eternal associate of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. Devotees would come and he'd have a stick which he'd carry with him all the time. And devotees offer a basin, he'd hit him on the head with the stick there. Give them mercy. He was an advocate. Like that. But when someone's on the ground in front of you, you can do anything to that person. They've surrendered to you. Right? So when we come before the Lord like that, we meditate on his feet first. Right? Because his feet give us shelter in this material world. So it says here in these three verses, it describes the lotus feet of the Lord, and it says, the splendor of their beautiful ruby nails resemble the orbit of the moon and dispel the thick gloom of one's heart. Sometimes our heart becomes thick, like a fog comes in and it covers our heart, and we become very sad. I heard on the radio the other day, they said that there's an epidemic in the world of depression. Epidemic. Even devotees get it sometimes. Everyone's depressed. So what do? It says here that the lotus feet of the Lord, if you meditate, it will destroy that fog. In other words, you have to be with Krishna. If you're with Krishna, can you be unhappy? No. But even sometimes we come before Krishna and we are unhappy. Prabhupada actually said to Brahmananda Prabhu and Gargamuni Prabhu back in the 60s, the very beginning of his time, he said, don't come before the deities if you're going to be depressed. Don't come before the deities all unhappy. Come before the deities, you have to be happy. Because they're happy. I mean, unless you're having a really, really, really bad time, then, you know, go before them and say, you know, help me. Like that. But generally, you should be blissful in front of the deities. And if you associate with them, you'll always be happy. That's why we have a morning program. We just spend 4 hours with them. Right? You should be happy by that. If you're not, God help you. If you're not come back tomorrow and try again, you should be feeling blissful by now. And if you're feeling blissful, you can give that bliss to others. You carry that in your heart. You take the deity's mercy in your heart and then you give it to others. So it says here, Krishna has different marks on the bottom of his feet. What are the four marks? There's many marks, but four are described here. What's on the bottom of his feet?
Thunderbolt.
What does a thunderbolt represent? It destroys the mountain of anattas, or pride, in the devotee's heart. The thunderbolt on Krishna's feet smashes that. Last night in our Bhaktivedanta class, we were studying the pastime of Indra. And what happened to him? He was throwing thunderbolts at Krishna. And they couldn't do anything. Because Giriraj was protecting him. Giriraj just, all the thunderbolts, if I couldn't do a thing. These are powerful thunderbolts. And then Krishna used his thunderbolt of his lotus feet to smash the mountain of pride of Indra. And Prabhupada points out, Krishna doesn't like pride in any of his devotees. And what's our problem? We're proud. And Krishna doesn't like it. So what does he do? He humbles us. He smashes the pride. Has it ever happened to you? Has it happened to you in the last 15 minutes? Krishna smashes your pride. He does it all day long. You want to be, Krishna can do it all day long. It's up to you. You want to be proud, Krishna will smash you all day long. Until eventually you just realize, okay, I'm meant to be a little bit humble. And when you're humble, then Krishna doesn't have to do it anymore. Then it says on the bottom of his feet, there's also a lotus flower. So when you're humble, then he gives you the lotus flower, puts that on your head. Right? And that's a lot more comfortable than a thunderbolt. Krishna, it's up to you. You want to take the easy road or you want to take the difficult road? You're humble, I'll give you a lotus flower. You're not humble, I'll give you a thunderbolt. That's your choice. And it said the gold. Now what is the gold?
Controls the elephant.
What does it look like? No, what does the gold look like? Yeah, it's like a rod. It has like a little hook on the end. And they control the elephant. When the rider's on top of the elephant, he holds it just on top of the elephant's head. And because it's like a hook, he can control the elephant. You know. So when the elephant's trained, he just has to move a little bit. The elephant will go there or go there or stop like that. So it's good. So Krishna uses that to control the devotee's mind. Because sometimes the devotee's minds are a little bit out of control. Have you noticed? Sometimes the devotees come to you. You know, they want some counseling or something. They come and their minds is like, whoa. It's like sometimes we just say, hey, just calm down. Take some deep breaths. Do some pranayama. Now, what is it you want to talk about? Because the mind gets cold. So Krishna uses the goal to control the devotee's mind and bring the mind to him. So all these different symbols, they have, they're symbolic. There's reasons why Krishna has all these different symbols. And there's a number of symbols. There's only a very short list here. But there's many, many more. Radharani has a number. Balaram has a number. Ichananda Prabhu, Vachitana. Krishna has many symbols on his feet. So the basic premise is that we should always remember Krishna and
never forget him.
Everything we do is governed by those two things. Vidhi and Nisheda. Always remember Krishna. Right. All the positive things we do every day are meant for one reason. Why do we do everything we do? Why do we chant 16 rounds a day? Why? To remember Krishna. Yeah. So if you're chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, yeah, whatever religion you're in, I don't know. But sometimes I hear devotees chanting, sounds like they're Muslim or something. So it's up to you, whichever religion you're in. Yeah, we offer respect to all of you. But when you chant Hare Krishna, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, when you're chanting the mantra properly, when you hear the mantra, it should be the mantra. And sometimes it's hybrid. It's not. It should be, there are 16 words, 32 syllables, that should be clear. So when you chant, what's the purpose of that chanting? For one reason, to remember Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, From Nam comes Rupa. When you get to the platform of Nishta, you purchase the Rupa. The Rupa is brought in the marketplace of the holy name, which is under the control of Lord Nityananda. When you chant properly, automatically, Krishna's form should come into your mind. Just like if I close my eyes now, right, and I say, Aniruddha Prabhu. Aniruddha, Aniruddha, Aniruddha Prabhu, Aniruddha Prabhu, Aniruddha Prabhu, Aniruddha Prabhu. So if I meditate, as soon as I say Aniruddha Prabhu, if I close my eyes, I can see the form. Right? From Nam comes Rupa. That's natural. So when we chant Krishna's name, what comes to our mind?
Krishna.
Should be the form of Krishna. But when we chant, what comes into our mind? Can of Coca-Cola. Oh, I used to be able to drink Coke, and now this cult, they stopped me drinking Coke. Coca-Cola, Coca-Cola, Coca-Cola. So you meditate on whatever you meditate on. But when you chant, Krishna's form should automatically... Krishna means... Nityananda. Nityananda. Like that should automatically come into the mind. And then guna, and then lila, and then dharma. All these things should manifest from the chanting. So here it says that when we're doing our devotional service, it is to remember Krishna. Krishna should come into our mind. And all the things that we avoid in nisheda, so we do not forget Krishna. Therefore we are said, do not eat meat, do not have illicit sex, do not gamble, and don't take intoxication. Why? Because they make you forget Krishna. Always remember Krishna, do not forget. So certain things we don't do, because they will make us forget Krishna, and certain things we do to make us remember Krishna. That's the goal. That's what all this is about. That's why Krishna says at the end of the Gita, he says everything. Right? Then Arjuna says, please. There's more conversation. We have Bhagavad Gita 700 verses, but actually there's more conversation between Krishna and Arjuna. So when they get to the end, Arjuna says, please just simplify the whole thing. You've spoken so much. Just break it down now. Krishna says, manmana bhavama bhakto. Four things. Madhyaji, mannamasku. So manmana, always think of me. That's his instruction. That's the whole Bhagavad Gita. Just think of me. Then Arjuna says, oh, that was four things. Just give me one thing. So he says, okay. Sarvadama, virjaja. Mam ekam. Ekam means one. One thing. Just surrender to me. Right? 700 verses, if you can't remember anything else, just remember that one thing. Surrender to Krishna. Now, Prabhupada said, chant to be happy. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai!
Simple. Simple for the simple, complicated for the complicated. Hare Krishna. So, any questions or comments what we discussed?
You have to tell about banner.
The banner?
Yeah. And I know victory.
And I remember what the banner? Banner means a flag. Okay. I have to look it up. Yeah, there's a description of. I've got one book at home that describes. I think the banner with the flag. Flag generally means victory. When you win, you know, you put the flag up and like that. So we probably have something like that. It means victory for the devotees.
It's a sign of victory.
Probably. I might be speculating, so don't like that. But it would probably mean something like that. We'd have to look it up. Any other question?
The other thing, last night we were discussing, a devotee is doing worship of stone and plant. And everybody thinks they are crazy. Do you want to tell something about it?
Hare Krishna devotees are crazy. We worship stones and plants, what can we say? We bow down in front of plants, you know, we spend hours in the morning, you know, worshipping stones, bathing, and so, you know, if you bring the next door neighbor in and see what we do at 4 o'clock in the morning, they're going to think, that's what everyone thinks about us, and, you know, nice food. Everyone in Australia, that's what they think. Nice food. You know, people come up to me all the time, oh, that food's amazing, man. It's like, oh, like that. You know, when you start telling what we do, it's like because we are what we are. So we are crazy. Crazy for Krishna. Like that. So you just have to make your choice. They're crazy as well. When you look at the stuff they do, it's crazy. But that's really crazy. Ours is transcendentally crazy. So you've got to make your choice. Who do you want to be? I'd rather be... I'm crazy anyway, so I'd rather be Hare Krishna. Crazy. I'd rather be that group than that group. George Harrison said, you know, he said, I'd rather be with these guys than these guys. I like these guys. They're nice, nice people, so I like hanging out with these guys. But they're definitely crazy. I mean, I look at the group. That's a crazy group. So. Is that okay? Any other question? Yes, sir.
Parikrama of Govardhan Hill.
What is that?
Parikrama of Govardhan, circumambulation of Govardhan.
Yeah.
Why is it so important?
Why is it so important? Actually, that's it. That's related to the class. Because when you... There are 9 angas of bhakti. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasham, Sakyam, Atme, Nivedanam. Now, Padasevanam, what does that mean?
Serving the
lotus feet. Yeah, Pad. That's the lotus feet. Padasevanam. Right. And who is the devotee who symbolizes Padasevanam? Lakshmi. She's always massaging the Lord's feet. And this is actually mentioned in the, not this verse, the verse after, in 2 more verses. She always massages the Lord's lotus feet. So if you read the 7th canto of Prabhupada, when he purports or explains this 9 items, famous verse by Prahlad Maharaj, Shravan Kirtan. So when he gets to Padasevanam, the Prabhupada explains that part of Padasevanam, or worshipping the Lord's lotus feet, is circumambulating the holy Dharma. Because the holy Dharma is an emanation from the Lord. So when you're in Vrindavan, a way to show respect to someone is you circumambulate them. If you walk, if someone stands and you're walking around them, that's a way of respecting them. Because you're putting all your attention on them. And you always give your right side to the person. That's why you see everyone in, when they do parikrama, they go on their right side towards the hill, you know, of Govardhan like that. So we circumambulate Govardhan as a sign of respect. You're a great personality, I'm respecting you, so I'm going around. And it says, when you do Govardhan Parikram, the hill itself, Govardhan himself, comes behind you and follows you the whole way around. He takes a form, and he follows you all the way around, and he listens to what your desires are. And he fulfills your desires. So you have to be very careful what you desire. Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments?
How can we always be in transcendental ecstasy when we go for Harina? And how can we be always happy when we enter the temple room?
How can you be in transcendental ecstasy when you go on Harina?
Yeah, because you mentioned before that there's a difference between sometimes you dance, and you might dance, and you jump, and you scream, but it's more a manifestation of the mode of passion. And then there are other times where you're really in ecstasy. So, how to make the difference?
When you become advanced, then you get a taste for the holy name. It's called Nama Ruchi. Mm. What's the name of your group that goes along the planet? It's called Harinam Ruchi. Right? Yeah. Harinam Ruchi. Right? So, by definition, Nama Ruchi. If you have taste for the holy name, as soon as you say the name Krishna, Rupa Goswami says, I wish I had millions of ears. And millions of tongues, because one tongue and 2 ears are not enough to taste all the nectar that are in the 2 syllables Krishna. Mm. So when you become advanced and you get taste for chanting, you don't have to go out there and say, oh, now I have to be enthusiastic. You are enthusiastic because you're chanting Krishna's names. So you just have to purify yourself and chant more deeply. How do you become happy when you're walking into the temple? Same thing. If you're actually, when you really want to see someone, right? Mm. You run to meet that person. Mm. Like, you know, you go to the Melbourne airport, you go to the airport, and there's when the plane comes in, and you see all the people come off the plane, and people are waiting for them, they haven't seen them. People run, everyone hugs each other, and they start crying because they want to see the person. Right? So, if you become advanced and you become attached to Krishna, you'll always be happy when you come from the temple because you want to see him.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see him. I haven't seen him. I just want to see him. I want to be with him. So when you develop that consciousness, you don't have to think, you know, you don't get to the door and think, oh, I should be happy now because I'm going into the temple like that. That means you don't have taste. It means we haven't become attached to Krishna. So when we become advanced, these things become spontaneous.
Yeah.
Natural. Does that answer the question?
Halfway.
Okay.
Because, like, it makes sense, but like, what should we do for now? You know, for now, so we still enter the temple. Should we still enter the temple room, even like?
Yeah. So what should we do now? So Prabhupada said, act enthusiastically. Act enthusiastically, because if you act enthusiastically, you will become enthusiastic. Right? One time, one disciple said to Prabhupada in the early days, he said, "Prabhupada, sometimes I don't feel like bowing down before you." I mean, that's a very, you know, intimate thing to say to your guru. You know, that just always revealing his heart nicely. I mean, that's, that take a lot of courage. I couldn't say that to Prabhupada. I couldn't say it to my guru. Mm-hmm. You know, I said that to my guru. I couldn't imagine saying that. But a devotee said that to Prabhupada. That's very intimate. That's a very, it's intimately he was revealing his mind to his guru. He said, "Prabhupada, sometimes I don't feel like bowing down." Prabhupada said, "Do it anyway, and then the feeling will come." It's okay, you don't feel always ecstatic when you come to the temple, do it anyway, and the feeling will come. Right? If you don't feel ecstatic on Harinam, do it anyway, and then feel it. But at least do one thing. Right? Harinam is a service. Sometimes you go on Harinam, all the devotees are down the back line. Yeah, you feel like you're in a funeral march or something. All the devotees are like, it's a service. Don't go on Harinam. If you can't be enthusiastic for yourself, at least do it for the public. Mm. You know, and people are seeing us. It does make sense sometimes. Mm. Like Hare Krishna is supposed to be these happy people, and you see them come around the corner. Sometimes I've been in the city, Harinam party's coming around the corner, I can hear it, it sounds, oh wow, there's the Harinam, it sounds blissful. And when you come around, everyone looks like they're, you know, on a funeral march or something, or it looks like they're somewhere else, or they just found out someone died just before they came out, or something like that. Yeah. It doesn't make sense. So it's a service. So when you go out, then do it for the non-devotees. And then naturally the feeling will come. Okay. Any other questions?
Just from experience.
Yeah.
What I've experienced.
Speak loud, so.
Just from what I've experienced.
Have you been on Harinam before?
not today. Even us, we don't feel enthusiastic sometimes. Get out, and one gets in there. So you just have to spend time with the Holy Name. So after like an hour or two, then you're hearing again. To not be enthusiastic, because you're able to work for so long, it's normal. So yeah, when you just spend time with the Holy Name, the enthusiasm and everything comes back to mind.
It's because we're disconnected. That's the point. There's one very famous kirtan lady. He left his body a few years ago in Vrindavan. His name was Aindra. You probably heard of him.
Yeah.
Everyone's heard of him. He's famous. So when he left, then we all spoke about Aindra Prabhu. Then one devotee said, when he sat down to do kirtan, he was enthusiastic for the first mantra, for the first syllable. It never took him time to get into it. Because he was just... he had ruchi, a taste for the Holy Name. So that's what we should be like. So if it's not there, then act like that, it will come. But just remember, if you're in the temple and you're chanting your own japa and you're struggling with your mind, that's your business. But when you're out there, you're doing it for them. So, you know, if you're not feeling ecstasy, then look like you're feeling ecstasy as a service. Because you need to bring people to Krishna. Otherwise, you know, Harinam can be anti-preaching.
You
can turn people away from Krishna. If it's not done properly. Because people will look and think, oh, I want to be a part of that. So you know, you've got to do it as preaching for them. So that when they see it, they'll get purified by the Holy Name and they think, yeah, I want to be a part of that. I can't do it because I'm too embarrassed or I'm too shy or it's too different for me, but I want to do it. Some people tell us sometimes, I want to do it, but I'm just too shy. Is that okay? Any other questions? Shula Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.